Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Donald. I am privileged and honored to be here with y'all tonight. Again, I'm Matthew White from Bakersfield Baptist Church in Evansville, Indiana. And I'm just excited. I really am. This is my first time ever in Michigan. First time ever. My wife, she toured for our college that we went to, and she got to do all this kind of stuff. But for me, this is a new thing, you know, coming to Michigan. And it's good to see a bunch of young people on a Friday night here at a youth revival. And it's good to see that a lot of youth pastors would bring their teens here. And I hope tonight that I would be a blessing to you. I know when Brother Donald had asked me to come here and to preach to y'all, to me it was a great honor knowing Brother Donald. We grew up together from the same church. And I'll get into my testimony a little bit later in the sermon. But tonight I just want to come up with, just for all of us, just to understand that we are living in the last days, I believe. I believe that God will be coming pretty soon. And it's our job as Christians to do what we can to get the gospel out to as many people as possible before he comes again. Tonight, I know we're here for revival. I know we're many of you may be tired. You may have had a long day of whatever you did. Most of you had a day off of school. But I do ask that you'll just be attentive to what I have tonight. I may not be a bombastic preacher, but I do believe that this is what God had for us tonight. Tonight's message is, do I need revival? Do I need a revival? Let's pray. Let's pray. We'll get right into it. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, allowing us, Lord, to gather together. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the great young people that we have here tonight. Lord, that they just chose to be here. Lord, they could be in any other place. But Lord, they chose to be in a church. Lord, they chose to listen to your word. And Lord, I do ask that you would be with me tonight, Lord, as I give your words. Lord, I do ask that you will just use me in a mighty way. Lord, fill me with your power, Lord, and your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank you again for this church, Lord, what it means to this part in Jackson, Michigan. Lord, thank you for Brother Donald. Thank you for the heart that he has to put something like this on. And Lord, I do ask that you would just be with someone here tonight, Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, that they'll get there settled here tonight. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you mean to us. In name we pray. Amen. Like I said before, I'm a youth pastor at in Evansville, Indiana. And how many of you have some memories of in your youth group, some funny things that you think you've done or that you experienced just for being in a youth group? How many of you would say that you have a youth pastor that is a total clown? As in, like, he is just funny. All right, so the things you do, and I can think of some times when I was in my church, I was in our youth group, and this is a funny story. I had to tell this before. I told Brother Don I probably would. Brother Don, talk about Crazy Lou. Remember him? Crazy Lou. Oh, so I was in the youth group. And I was about 14 years old, and they have to understand this. This was the very first time I ever got into a church. I walked in, and I was sitting in the back. Of course, on Wednesday nights, we went upstairs. And this man, I mean, you have to think, he's an older gentleman. He's probably maybe in his mid-50s. Comes in with a bandana, a red bandana on, some heavy glasses. He had jeans on and like a biker jacket. And he comes and sits on the back row of the church. So he's sitting in the back, and usually what we do at our home church, we give testimonies. Now, the testimony time, there was one lady who always gave the longest testimonies. You know, you have these people at church, and they say, well, this morning, I just want to thank God for what he's done. And, you know, every day, you know, we woke up, it's a normal day, we had breakfast, and what I cooked for breakfast today was about pancakes, eggs, and sausages, and bacon. I mean, she went out her whole dialogue, what she did before the whole day, and then she said what time she took a shower, and then she got to the whole testimony part, you know. But we get to Crazy Lou, and I will never forget this. My pastor's up there on the front, and he looks back, and he sees this man, and he knows it's going to come. And he just goes, okay, it's Crazy Lou. Oh, thank God he didn't call him Crazy Lou. But he said, Lou in the back, you have a testimony. Now, this man was in the back. I'm going to go back there. He was in the back, just like this, sitting down. He had his hand raised. Pastor looked at him, and he was like, oh my, here it comes. And I was like, yes, it's coming. It's coming. Raises his hand, gets up. He's like, yeah, preacher, I have a testimony I want to give. And like I said, red bandana, biker jacket. And he starts walking down. He's like, Pastor, I have these two neighbors. One's a witch, one's a goblin. And each day, every day, Pastor, and I mean, this is exactly what he did. He walked up to the front of the church. Walked up to the front and said, every day, Pastor, all they do is bicker. They argue and they talk and they all they do is argue. So one day I just went to both of them, both of their houses, and I just got tired of it. He said, I'm tired of those witches. I'm tired of those goblins. And so I just talked to them. And then, no lie, this is what happened. He says, I got tired of it. They didn't want to listen to me, so. He literally just started going and started Cheeto chopping everything. And I mean, he went at it. And he said he did some kung fu to these goblins and witches. And I mean, this guy was a total nut. A total nut. But you know what? Every time I saw that guy, I knew something was going to happen. And I was just like, yes, yes. Knew something was going to happen. And then there was another time. Now, these are all crazy loose stories, all right? Now, this another time we were playing softball on our field. We have a small little field at our home church. And this man, literally, he comes in to church. And he's driving in. And I mean, he's hitting speeds of like 80 miles an hour through our parking lot. And we're playing softball, and my youth pastor was overprotective, you know, and I'm that bus kid, and I'm like, yeah, because I see this guy driving 80 miles an hour, and then he comes, and he's coming straight for us. We're playing softball, and my youth pastor's like, oh, get back! And this guy tail whips it, 80 miles an hour, tail whips in our church parking lot, and goes and just keeps going. And then I yell, he had his windows down, I was like, do it again! My youth pastor's like, no, shut up, don't do it again. And here comes Crazy Lou, back around, does it again. And then after that, I mean, that was all history. But this guy was a nut. And now one more story I'll tell you about Crazy Lou. There's for some reason, we left our church doors unlocked. I don't know why we did that, but we left the side door. And for some reason, he knew the side door was unlocked. We're going into the church. I think we were going to clean it or something. And there he was, and there was sitting down in the pews and just, oh, this is awesome. Yeah, God's good. He's sitting there, and then he gets up, and I mean, we're just watching this guy. He gets up, starts walking outside. I mean, I don't even know if you remember if we were there. He takes off his shoes when he's outside, takes off his shoes and starts sitting on a rock. And literally starts to meditate. And my big thing, every time I saw Crazy Lou, I loved it. As a teenager, I just loved every second of watching this man because you never knew what was going to happen. But you know, once he walked through that door, that this man had something hilarious that was going to happen. So I always brought it up, but enough with those stories, but I know many of you guys have those stories. I have a story. Since I've been a youth pastor now for a year and a half, and there was a time I got stuck in the mud. I tried to get a shortcut around a cornfield, and instead of, you know, there was a gate there, and it said, do not enter. So, of course, I'm the stupid new youth pastor. What I had to do, I cut through the cornfield, and we got stuck in the mud. And I have a van full of boys, and most of them, you know, they have, like, the new Nikes and stuff, and they go all crazy. Man, I don't want to get my shoes dirty. Oh, come on. So I had each of them get off the car, and I'm driving. I'm like, all right, guys, push. And I'm over here revving the engine. I mean, I got them all muddy. And I'm telling them, push, push, revving the engine. And I mean, they're getting all mud on them. And come to think of it, I mean, we got out, but it took us about 10 minutes to get out of that mud. So there's always those stories. But the big thing right now that's going on, Thanksgiving's coming up. The best thing that happened, Brother Donald, I know you love this. The football season started. Football season started when? Back in September for preseason. And I love when football season happens. I love when it starts. Everybody in here, I'm guessing everybody, if you know football, is a Detroit Lions fan. No? Maybe? Somewhat? Because if you are, I'm sorry. I just want to say I'm sorry. I am from New England, so I'm a New England Patriots fan. Now, you can say what you want. Well, the deflate gate, whatever it is, you know, I'm not going to have it because we're still winners. We win no matter what. Brother Donald's a new Patriots fan, I'm guessing. But he's from New England, so he's loved the Patriots for a while. But I'm a diehard. And you look at Brother Donald's office, all Patriots decked out. He has more stuff than I do. That's a true fan right there, Brother Donald. It's like it. But in 2013, season start in 2013, does anybody know who went to the Super Bowl in 2013? Anyone? So I saw a hand. You had your hand up? No. Okay, you're scratching your head. Love when they do that. It's like, oh. Anybody in 2013? No one. Anyone? Somebody? Patriots. No, that's their first thing. So I'm a Patriots fan. Who? What'd you say? She said Seahawks. On the money. There it is. So in 2013, the Seahawks. And did they go on winning? Did they go on to win? Yes, they did. So they won the Super Bowl in 2013. But before they got to that point, do you know who their head coach is? Someone said it. Pete Carroll. Good. Pete Carroll's their head coach. Now, before Pete Carroll became the head coach of the Seahawks, he was also a head coach at USC. And USC at that time, they went through a whole thing. He coached Reggie Bush, and they went through a thing. So this was his chance to revive his career, to bring his career back to life because it had died because of everything that went on with USC. And he once worked for the Patriots, but that was back in the day, and it didn't work out for him there. But throughout that 2013 season, he had just one motto, just one little line that he told his players. Now, if you think about the Seahawks 2013, they had no star players at all. They had a sixth-round pick quarterback who was an undrafted quarterback, which was Russell Wilson. They had cornerbacks and receivers that were like third- and fourth-round picks. But Pete Carroll said, if we are going to win a championship, we all have to be all in. He said, if we're going to do something great, we have to be all in. You can't have your own agenda. You can't do what you want to do. But if we're all together, I promise we can bring a championship here to Seattle. So each and every day what he would do before practice, he would tell the players, hey, if you're all in today, I want you to hit the sign and say, hey, I'm all in. I'm all in. So each of them will get each and every day to that sign. They see it, all in. I'm all in today, coach. I'm all in. And that's when things started to happen for them because they caught on to that and they said, you know what? No matter what it is, I'm all in. I'm all in. And yes, at the end of the year, they won the Super Bowl. But tonight, for this revival, I do ask, there's two preachers and I know there's time limits, but I ask that you, all of us tonight, just be all in. Say, Brother Matt or Brother Haglund, whatever the Lord placed on your heart tonight, whatever it is, hey, I'm all in. Whatever you say or whatever the Word of God says, hey, I'll do it. Because those are the words of God. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalms chapter 85. Psalms chapter 85, I said in the beginning that we're going to be looking at, do I need a revival? Do I need a revival? And it's sad to say that no one in this world anymore has a clue what revival is. And I myself, I'm a young youth pastor, but the only reason why I know about revivals is because I read it in a history book. Back in the 1900s when revivals were breaking out, when people were seeing that God was working again, those were the times people saw revivals. How many of you can say, hey, I personally have witnessed a revival? Many, okay, so there's some of you. But many of us have not seen a revival happen. Many of us have not seen a nation or maybe a youth group or a church get back to God and say, Lord, whatever you want us to do, I'll do it. But no one has a clue what revival is. And a revival, and to revive means just to bring back to life. Is there something in your life tonight that you need to bring back to life? Something in your life that you know that you were once on fire for God, but now it's just buried, dead. Something that you need to revive, something that you just need to resurrect and bring back to life and be excited like you used to be for God. Revivals need to start today in marriages. We see so many marriages falling apart, or people don't even get married because they feel, I might as well just do whatever I want with whoever I want. With our life goals, and we go through a revival in our lives. Some people have never had a revival in their life before. In the churches are closing the doors each and every second as I speak. It says each and every year that there's 2,500 churches that shut their doors. Why? Because there's no life in the churches anymore. But we need a revival in our churches. And definitely, what's going on now in our country in America? We just had the elections and all that's going on. I really don't like to talk about that. But we look at what's going on because of what happened with the votes that came in and people are rioting. There's no unity anymore in the United States of America. There's no revival, but what we need is that unity and that revival like we used to have. America has become cold to God and the words of God and for His people. And tonight, I just want you to look at your own life. I want each and every one of you just to say, is there something in my life that I need to revive? Do I need a revival in my life? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. The first part of it says, but let a man examine himself. But let a man examine himself. We had that chance in the beginning of our service just to pray. And I hope each and every one of you were open and said, Lord, whatever you want for me, Lord, whatever you have tonight, Lord, I'll do it. And I hope at that same time that you were confessing your sins to God and saying, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. But Lord, I do ask that you would please forgive me for what I've done. But we have too many young people now, we look at other people and we judge other people for their faults and their failures when inside we know that we must examine ourselves as well. Say, Lord, I have faults in my life. So tonight, I just want each of you just to focus on yourselves. Just think of the things in your life that you think that you need a revival. Need a revival in. The Welsh revival of 1904 started with the preaching of one man in the last day of October, and his name was Evan Roberts. This was a young man. This was a very young man. From the very beginning, he knew that God had called him to do something great, but he didn't know what it was. He went off to Bible college, and when he came back, he didn't feel like, well, whatever it is, Lord, it's not there yet. So he went into the coal mines and did all that kind of stuff and then realized that, you know what? God is going to do something. And each of us, what we need to do if we want to do something great for God, is focus on ourselves and do this. Draw an imaginary circle around our lives and stay in that circle until you get right with God, until you get right with other people. And once you do that and you focus on yourself and you realize that you need the revival in your life, God will do something great. God will bring that revival that you truly need in your life. You get right with God, you get right with others. And we must turn back to God for revival. In Psalm chapter 85, verse 6, we'll read it. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Let's go over to Psalm chapter number 80. Psalm chapter number 80 and verse number 19, the Bible says, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Number one, tonight, I want us to look, how do I know I need revival? Number one, is my salvation still blessing me? Is my salvation still blessing me? Young person, if you're here and you're saved tonight, are you excited that you're saved? Are you excited that God has saved you from that place called hell? Are you excited that, hey, you'll never have to touch hell ever again? You'll never, ever even feel the flames. You'll never, ever have to hear the gnashing of teeth, feel that continual falling. Why? Because you're saved. But so many of us today, we get saved and, oh, I'm glad. And you feel like you just got yourself a get out of hell free card. And you live your life what you want to do with it. I'm saved so I can do whatever I want. I'm not going to go to hell, so I'll live my life whatever I want to do with it. But you know what? We lose that excitement that we once had for our salvation. In my personal testimony, I was 14 years old when I began going to church. I was one of those kids who was into break dancing. I found myself at a young age at 13 years old. I broke into a police gas station in my area. I found myself in trouble with the cops, and I got myself put away for about 6 months. And then when I came out, I promised myself that I was going to do better. I promised myself that, you know what, God, whatever it is, I'll do it. And of course, at that age, I knew that there was something better, and I wanted something better. So at the age of 14, Brother Donald himself, he was walking, and they were going out soul winning on a Saturday. And I was on my way down to my friend's house, And to be honest, I had no idea what I was going to do. I was just going to walk down there and just hang out with my friend. And then Brother Donald and my home pastor, they were there knocking on the door. And when I walked up there, he invited me to church and said, "Hey, you need to come." And I don't know if you believe me or not, because usually when kids tell you, "Hey, yeah, I'll come to church," it's usually like, "No, I'm not coming to church." You know how it is? Usually if you work in a bus ministry, you understand how it is. And I don't know if you believe me or not, but I lived about 2 miles away. I lived 2 miles away from where Brother Donald was. And that Sunday, I made that promise that I was going to go. And I walked down, and this was in the dead winter, and it was snow on the ground. And I walked down about 2 miles from my house all the way down to where they picked up in South Summer. And I don't know if he was surprised or not, but I showed up that day. And that day, I didn't get saved. And it took me a while to get saved, but once I got saved, hey, let me tell you, I got saved. And I've never lost that excitement. I've never lost that excitement I once had that, hey, you know what? I thank God each and every day. My wife and I, we love to sing, and most of the songs we sing, they're about the cross. Because if it wasn't for that cross, and if it wasn't for what Jesus did for me, I'll be on my way to hell. And many of you had that same, you have that salvation. Yet, you're not excited about it. Some of you go to a public school and you don't tell your friends about it. Are you truly excited about your salvation? You want a revival in your life? Get excited about your salvation. Tell somebody about what God did for you. Like I said, I still thank God each and every day for my salvation. The biggest thing that you should think in your life and to understand is that you'll never, ever, ever go to hell. Ever. Never go to hell. That's something to praise God and get excited about. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Brother Matt, I don't know what this thing called salvation is." I'll give you a chance at the end of the service to know that you're saved. There's a man named Robert Robertson. This is one of my favorite songs, and it's called "Come Thou Fount." But this man, Robert Robertson, he was one of those troubled young teenagers who found himself with his friends, and they went into a bar, and they were just gonna go and do whatever they wanted to do. And they got to that point where they got a little buzzed, and they said, "Hey, let's go down the street to hear George Whitfield preach and make fun of him and haggle him." He went to that church that day, and then instead of haggling that man, he got saved. Amen. He got saved, and he realized, "Lord, I know what I was doing was wrong," and he lived his life. After that day, he lived his life for God. But then it happens to like all of us. We get comfortable. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. And this man found himself, Robert Robertson, found himself at the lowest part of his life. Found himself on the corner. Found himself in the rags. Found himself no longer loving the things of God. And realizing that his life was a total ruin. Then one day some young lady came in a stagecoach singing, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." And right away, Robert Robertson, who was sitting there on that corner, poked his head up. And he realized, she kept singing, and he realized that that's my song. He realized that he wrote that song when he was excited for Christ. He wrote that song when he was on fire, when God was doing so much for him. Now he finds himself on the corner, just sitting there. That lady, she kept singing, saw this man on the corner and realized, that man needs to come to church with me. So he hops in the stagecoach with her, and she continues to sing. And the first thing, he said, "Ma'am, what's that song you're singing?" She said, "Well, it's Come Thou Fount, written by this man named Robert Robertson." And he said, "Well, ma'am, you may not believe me, but I'm Robert Robertson, and I wrote that song many years ago when I was on fire for God, when I was excited for what he did for me. But I lost my zeal, and I lost my fire for God. Now you see me here." And it's not said what he did for the rest of his life. If he turned out and if he went on living for God, But it just shows you what can happen to a life that's no longer excited for their salvation and what God did for them. So young person, if you need a revival, are you excited about your salvation? And if you're not saved tonight, we'll give you a time at the end of the preaching to get saved and get that settled. So number one, are you still excited about your salvation? Number two, does your love for Christ still keep you going? Does your love for Christ still keep you going? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says this, "For the love of God constraineth us." The love of God constraineth us. I just want to focus on that first part. The love of God constraineth us. No, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." No, God loved us so much that he gave his Son. Does your love for God still keep you going? Do you say you love God, but your life doesn't show it? Hey, I can say I love my wife. I can say that, but unless I show her I love her, she won't believe me. You need a revival in your life? Does your love for God still keep you going? Evan Roberts, we were talking about earlier in the Welsh Revival, loved God so much that he set a time and a place to meet with God. He was a miner, then a blacksmith, and then felt the call to ministry that he walked with God for hours. And this went on for 3 months. For 3 months, this man got a hold of God. And because of his love, and because of that dedication that he had for God, it sparked that revival that needed to be in Welsh. Does your love for God still keep you going? What is it tonight, young person? For me, I do not like when someone says they love God, but yet they say, "Brother Matt, I love God. I really do. I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind." And my big thing is, well, if you love God so much, why aren't you showing it? Because God loves constraineth us. What if one teenager here tonight would say, "Lord, I love you so much that whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you. Lord, my love for you is more greater than a sport. Lord, my love is more greater than a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Lord, my love for you is greater than anything this world can offer me." Why? Because your love constraineth me. Is your love for God still keeping you going? Number one, we saw that. Is your salvation blessing you? Number two, does your love for God still keep you going? And lastly tonight, number three, is the Holy Spirit still speaking to you? Is the Holy Spirit still speaking to you? Is God still speaking to you, or have you shut God down? There's so many young people that I've come encountered with lately, and I have asked my teenagers in the last couple of days that, "Have you surrendered your life fully to God?" And I asked each and every one of them, I was preaching a message to them, and I said, "Is there one of you in here that said you totally surrendered your life to God? Or have you know that God has called you to do something?" Got no hands. Then I asked them, I was like, "How many of you can truly say you're reading your Bible and you're praying?" I had one of the teenagers tell me that, "I really haven't read my Bible since June, since our camp out." And if you want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, if you want God to truly use your life, the Holy Spirit must be speaking. And if God is not speaking to you, then you're not speaking with God. How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? Hey, the Christian life is not a joke. Brother Donald doesn't do what he does because it's a paycheck. No, but he's investing his life in young people. Why? Because he sees that there's a difference. He sees that there's a cause that we have. Today, we went out to Cracker Barrel, and there was this man there. He heard us. He overheard us talking about how God has been good to our lives. And I was reminiscing on the past, and how I always think of how God used my life, and I'm so grateful for what he's done in my life. But this man was telling us, and he asked me what I was preaching on tonight. I told him I'm preaching on revival. And he was asking me, "Okay, what is?" And he literally had pretty much he was trying to say that America has no hope anymore. He was saying, I don't go to church, I don't do any of that, but he knew his Bible. He was telling me, hey, turn here, turn here, do that. And he said, there's no hope anymore. He said, I don't vote, I don't go to a church. Why? Because there's no hope. Now I told him this, if you look on the faults of man, you're going to see fault in each and every one of us. But because your eyes are on the wrong thing and not on God, that's exactly why you see that this country and why so many things are going on, because you no longer have your focus on God. Now, young person, if you want the Holy Spirit to speak, you have to first speak to God. This is not over your head. Youth pastors, I know you say it each and every time, hey, how's your walk with God? How's your prayer life? The church of Laodicea, when John was writing to the churches and saying, hey, there's some things that God needs you to do right. The church of Laodicea said, I'm in need of nothing. Are you that young person here tonight that just says, you know what? I'm in need of nothing. I'll sit through the preaching. I'll sit through whatever it is, but I'm in need of nothing. My life is fine. I hope that's not with you tonight. But young person, if you want that revival, we must go back to a place when we look to God. We must understand that a revival starts with an individual. If one of you in here tonight will truly get on fire for God, truly say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Get excited about your salvation again. Know and understand that I need to read my Bible and pray in order to hear the Holy Spirit. If you understand those things, I promise there will be a revival in your life. And just because of one person, maybe can spark a revival in our nation, in a church, in your youth group, at a school. And all we need is just one. We started off saying all in. All in. You know, if one person on that football team did not do their part, there's no championship. But if each of us tonight will respond and say, Lord, you know, I know I'm not excited as I used to be about my salvation. And Lord, I know you haven't been speaking to me as much as I know you need to. And Lord, my love for you is, it's not how it used to be. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give us some time tonight just to come down to this altar. And I know I said it in the very beginning,